Dirt, and Sprague.
If or means being cool, do all those things. Well, listen, I got a hot wife for a reason, right? I mean, I can get down. I can recite, you know, Notorious B.I.G. lyrics. I can recite, whatever you want me to do. You know, let's go. But I've got enough or, enough to find ways to win football games, and that's all that matters.
Andy Dirt Johnson, Brandon Sprague.
Dobb Smith, a reservation for three at the Chop House for Mr. Smith.
Dirt and Sprague on the Fan Sports Network.
All right, 6:02 in the Rose City. Time for Dirt and Sprague on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. In the Fan Sports Network, hello. Happy Friday, everybody. A Flop Shot Friday, Fast Break Friday, a Football Friday. Hello.
What is happening?
No 85! What's that?
Quite a little start to my day.
Oh, what happened today?
Oh, dude, I almost burned my house down.
That's a nice start to a Friday. That's a good way to get you awake
on
a Friday.
A lot of that going around.
Sometimes Friday mornings you're dragging a little bit long week, yeah. And all the early mornings. That'll get you going. That's a natural caffeine right there.
Not great.
You'll fire up the grill in the backyard at 3 o'clock in the morning? What the hell were you doing?
Well, first of all, lucky to be here. Woke up, fell
hit
asleep.
Hit the wrong button on the microwave. You thought you hit 20 seconds and you hit like 20 minutes or something?
No, I woke up and then I was laying in bed and I was just thinking and I'm processing everything. And then I opened my eyes again, and I realized I had fallen asleep for 22 minutes.
Ooh, nice. A second sleep. I like that.
So now I'm way behind my start already.
Right. Now the day's just, all plans are out the window.
Then I had this idea, plug in the iron early so I could iron this shirt I wanted to wear because it was super wrinkly from the laundry. And so by the time I need to iron it, it's ready to go and I can be done. I come back after about 20 minutes. I had started the stove with a little frying pan. I was going to fry some eggs up, right?
Yeah, just make a little breakfast. Yeah.
Quick and easy. I go upstairs. I'm deciding, where's that shirt? I couldn't find the shirt. Realized I had moved the shirt downstairs, so I went downstairs, grabbed the shirt, go upstairs to iron real quick. The iron is, like, blinking.
Uh-oh.
And I hadn't seen that before.
Uh-oh, why are we blinking?
And I'm ironing, but I'm in kind of the dark because I'm in my bedroom.
Right.
And I'm like, is this doing the job? So I kind of like put my hand to the iron. I'm like, it feels warm.
Yeah, it's not hot, but
it's warm.
There's enough steam in there that should get the wrinkles out of the shirt.
Grab the shirt, realize I'm done. I've unplugged the iron here, put on the shirt, turn in the mirror. I'm like, oh my God, it did nothing. Not a single wrinkle was taken out of that shirt.
Was not hot enough.
So now I'm bailing. I'm like, okay, I can't wear this shirt. What shirt am I going to wear? I wore that shirt yesterday. I wore that shirt then. I'm like, try not to wear the same five shirts because I just went through my closet and got rid of clothes.
Go.
I'm like, you know what? The wife got me this Niner shirt. I'm going to wear it. I haven't worn it. So I grabbed the shirt. I put it on, brushed my teeth. I then realized, oh, my God.
Left the iron on?
I fried chicken for my daughter last night for dinner, but like on a flat, small little egg frying pan with a little oil, so
just
it wasn't
a tiny
like a deep
bit.
Fry.
Yeah.
It had been covered in olive oil, and I forgot that I had started the stove.
Ooh.
So now I'm like, oh, crap.
And that was still on.
And I run downstairs, and I can instantly smell the olive oil
just
burning. And I'm like, oh, God. It's going to be smoking. And I come down. Half the pan is black.
Yeah.
There is smoke everywhere. I'm like, okay, I got it just in time. And as I slide up, beep, beep, beep. I'm like, no,
Good morning, everybody.
So I run
waving. Dude,
I ran to the
get the windows
I had to
open.
First find out which one was it, right? Because they have like eight of them.
Right,
and
you're
you never know.
You got the towel. And you're on a chair and you're
dude,
flapping it.
It was one that was kind of close to my reach, so I take my hat off my head. And I'm like, ah, stop it. And I'm like quietly whispering, screaming. It's going off.
No.
Open a window. I finally get it off. And I'm like, oh, my God.
We're good to go.
This is like, I mean, I'm running late. It is probably 4:58.
Right.
I should have been on the road by
ready
now.
Ready to hit the road.
So I'm like, okay, God. Now I have no time. I'm like, look at the clock. I'm like, well, now I have no time to make anything.
Now there's no food available.
Now I'm just going to starve for the whole show.
Now I'm going to be hungry.
And as I go in, I open one sliding window that's like above our kitchen sink, and I'm like, this will get some of the smoke out, because I start looking, and I'm like, oh my God, there is a lot of smoke. I grab the frying pan, I put some water in it so it can cool off, and then like maybe try to get some of the sticking oil off or whatever.
Let it soak for a bit.
And as I grab my backpack,
beep, beep,
we're like,
no, 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 no.
So now I've run back over to the – now guess who – boom, 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 boom. Crap. It's the wife.
Not happy.
It's like a T-Rex, dude.
It's 4 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, it's not
Why
great.
Is a fire alarm going off in my house? I'd like to go back to sleep.
I was just like, I'm so sorry.
I didn't mean to do this.
She luckily was in a – okay. She grabs a sliding glass door. She opens it to our back deck. It's going off. I'm waving my hat around. I grab it. It finally goes off. I go, I'm so sorry. Now I'm really late. I grab my backpack. I walk to the door. My dog suddenly woke up. He thinks I'm taking him out. So now he's blocking the door.
Right, now he's ready to go out and take a leak, man. It's early in the morning. Let's go, Dad.
Full disclosure, me and my dog have a little bit of a love-hate thing sometimes. He tends to do things that I hate, but I love him. And he's in my way, and I'm like, I'm kind of like bulldozing.
Get out of the way.
Get out of the way. I kind of like nudge him with my hip to get him out of the way. He comes right back. I'm like, get out of the way. So I grab my backpack. I go to shut the door. I realize the door is not locked. The screen door I go to open is locked. I slam my head into it. I unlock that. Now I'm half out the house. I pull the door. Door doesn't shut all the way. So now I go to grab it. My backpack got caught on the screen door. And it yanks me back as I'm closing the door, and now I'm just in panic mode, and I'm in the car, and it's 5:13, and I'm like, oh, my Lord.
How fast did you drive here?
I went speed limit.
I'm sure you did, yeah. I mean, 25 in the school zone.
Come on.
35 on the side roads, 50 on the freeway. Yeah, nice and easy. Yeah. Nice slow drive into work today.
As I pull in, dirt pulls in before me.
Right.
And this is not a shot at you, but when I see you pull in before me, I go, God, I'm late.
Damn it.
Because I want to make sure the audio is set up for cafe. And I was a mess. I got out of the car. I'm like, oh my God.
Look, there's only one benefit to a start of the day like that, and that is any fatigue you had, any tiredness you had.
It's gone.
Any, I just wanted to lay in bed a little bit. It's all out the window.
Oh, yeah.
Shot.
You are wide awake.
Adrenaline flowing.
5 o'clock in the morning.
Terrible.
Now, there will probably be a crash at about 10:45 today. You get home, sit down. I'm sure there will be a come down of all the adrenaline.
Yeah.
From not a great week of sleep, but it'll get you going on a Friday. That's a great way to get your tire started.
Well, I have a problem with, like, we have these no stick pans.
Yeah.
But, like, if you looked at them, you go, well, somebody cooked those a little too high.
Dude, no stick pans, I feel like, are an absolute lie.
They feel like a sham, but you're supposed to cook them on super
low temperatures.
Lower heat.
How low is low temperature?
I mean, that's my problem.
If I'm on medium heat, that should be low enough to not have
stuff stick.
Sometimes
that's too hot, though.
And it's not. Yeah, things stick all the time to our non-stick pans.
So my problem was when I started the stove, I should have put it on like a 2.5
sure.
out of like an 8 scale because it goes 8, 10.
Right.
10 is high. I kept it on 8 because when I come back on low, I feel like it's still not warm
enough.
It's
not, right. And then you got to turn it up anyways, and it's not ready for your eggs when you're ready for the eggs.
Yeah, and then I burn the oil, and I just, disaster class.
We have that, I don't know what it is. Teddy's really into sausages, which I'm all for because I love sausages too. A lot of, like, you know, when you make spaghetti, there's a couple of sausage links involved with it, right? So we'll do a lot of those. Sometimes I don't want to go outside if I'm doing, like, spaghetti on the stove. I don't want to go outside and grill the sausage. So you throw it on a little saucepan, right? Nice and easy. Put a little nonstick, little oil in there.
Yep.
Dude, those things stick 100% of the time.
Every time.
100% of the time.
I know.
And then you're scrubbing it for 15 minutes afterwards. You're trying to get the stuff off the bottom of the pan. And this is an absolute ruse.
I hate it.
Whoever sold us these pans sold us a bag of nonsense because things stick to this thing constantly.
There was a pink material that my wife bought. It comes in like a little package. And a while back, we had noticed our pans had like a lot of like stains on, and they weren't coming off with like any kind of sponge.
Right.
So she buys this like pink goo of some sort.
You got a pink goo, huh?
And you basically scoop it out. It's almost like as firm as clay.
Okay.
But it's a little smoother. And you're just supposed to scrub, and it got everything off.
The pink goo got the job done?
It did, and then we washed it, and like I was like vowing, I'm like, oh, we'll never cook on high heat again.
We'll do low temperatures forever.
And we're right back. We're right back to stained. I don't know what to do. I was at my dad's last weekend. His nonstick pans were working immaculately, and I'm
really?
Like,
really? What brand did you buy that I don't have?
I don't know, man.
Because I don't ever turn that thing. I mean, occasionally you'll go higher, but I expect it to stick at that point. But if I'm at medium heat, right down the middle. That should not be too hot to make things stick to the pan.
You know, the best thing I ever had was something my mom got me, and it was one of those cooking skillets, the square kind of rectangular ones.
Yeah,
you know what I'm talking about?
I know what you're talking about.
The side of it.
Yeah, those are solid.
Those are great for breakfast, right? You can
absolutely
do like three different things at one time.
Right.
I was using that on the daily. And then I read an article. Why did I read this? I don't know. But it was like sometime around COVID, so I was kind of reading everything health. And I read an article, and it was like, if you have this company of the thing you have, and it has Teflon, and Teflon will give you cancer. And I'm like, well,
that's a nice update.
Now I can't use this.
Thank you for that.
And
I
we got rid of it.
Yeah, not going to use that anymore.
And I regretted it.
It's going to get you cancer, man.
What a mistake.
At some point in your life, you just got to roll the dice.
Oh, I'm there.
You know? Yeah, it's like
about a year later, that Brandon didn't care. He's like, well, it'll give you cancer. I'm like, yeah, everything does.
I drink out of plastic water bottles all the time. That's supposed to give me cancer. I don't use sunscreen every time I'm out in the wild. That's going to give me cancer. I mean, just the list of things that I will die of cancer from is extremely long. It's going to take me out at some point, but I'm willing to roll the dice until that happens.
I put a lot of pepper on things, like black pepper, especially if I have like breakfast food. And I was putting some pepper on eggs, and somebody once leaned over and was like, oh, you want some eggs with your pepper? It gives you cancer, you know? And I just kept looking at it.
Hey, pepper's giving us cancer now, too?
Oh, dude.
How's pepper giving us cancer?
What? Right.
That's horrible PR for pepper. I love pepper.
The problem...
That sounds like it's coming from Big Salt.
Well, yeah. Is salt threatened by pepper?
I think salt's threatened by pepper.
Really?
I think so. I think it's a fight. They're always next to each other on the table. Who's going to get used first?
I figure red
flakes. What's the more popular? Is it salt or pepper?
See, I think the red chili flakes are more threatened by pepper.
They're fighting the
beef?
They're
trying to fight into the spice category.
We can make you a little more spicy than pepper. Spicy's a bland, or a pepper's a bland spice.
I feel like salt is the jelly to the peanut butter. I think they want the pepper together.
This guy's saying the hotter the pan, the more likely it is to not stick. I don't feel like that's the case. With my pan, maybe I don't have the right pans. I don't know.
I have the reverse problem. If I cook on low, it tends to never stick.
Never.
But man, I just don't have the patience, and so most of the time I turn it on too hot and it sticks.
Right. How often do you actually have the amount of time that is necessary to cook the dinner the way that you want to cook the dinner? And how often is it like, all right, everybody's hungry. We got to go in about 45 minutes. Let's turn this bitch up to like high.
Yeah.
And you want to cook it in 10 minutes instead of 15 minutes because you're just on the run. It just happens all the time.
Well, I had that Wednesday. I had like all this time, so I was doing this the right way because I was also watching the Will Ferrell show. I wanted to see the Hawk.
Ah.
So I'm watching the Hawk, and it was delightful. It like got warm after half an episode.
Yeah.
Added the chicken. Chicken slowly cooking.
That looks good.
Nice. I'm going back and forth from the TV to
Let's go check it.
It was
perfect. I'm back in the living room.
Dude,
no issues.
Perfectly. It didn't stick.
That's a nice night.
It was great.
That's a nice night when it happens.
The only night this week I've had that happen.
It's a very rare occurrence, man. An absolutely rare occurrence. Yeah. Having the amount of time to cook dinner is a delightful thing. Like prepping it the way you want to, not in a rush. Nobody's yelling at you. When am I going to eat my food? I'm hungry. Mm. Just having your time, man. Rolling your sleeves up, towel over the shoulder, getting the job done.
I feel like a lot of things that we like, we will find some article from some publication that tells us it's no longer good for you.
Absolutely.
I just have a weird...
You're Swigart, and then you get an announcement this week that if you have 5 cups of coffee a day...
You're healthy.
You're healthier
right
than you would be.
My liver's good.
He's doing great.
But let me give you an example
of this. What are the odds of that, huh?
So, basically every morning, I'll get up, and I'll have like a little mini... exercise thing where I just get my blood flowing so I can wake myself up, right? Because we wake up pretty early. What I usually do is I get about 2.5 minutes of cold, ice cold water, right? Cold plunge, as they call it.
Yeah.
I literally on Monday just saw an article. It's like science is starting to wonder if cold plunge has the same effect. And I'm like,
what are we doing here, man? What are we doing?
So it's just like a big wave movement of false.
Now I can't use this anymore?
Now, I can only speak for myself.
Does it make you feel good?
It makes me feel amazing,
then do
actually.
The damn cold plunge.
It makes my body feel good. It wakes me up.
Don't let these nerds get in the way
of
the
time. I'm not letting
time.
Science win there.
Get these nerds out of here, okay? It wakes your body up. It's probably good for inflammation, right? It's a natural wake up. There's no negatives here, all right? Don't let the nerds get in the way of that.
See, the worst thing that could happen to Dirt is like he gets an article and it's like playing 18 holes of golf once a week can lead to prostate cancer.
I would say, you know what? We got prostate cancer in the family. Grandfather, father. I'm going to get it anyways.
I might be aligned.
I know the chances of me having prostate cancer at some point are north of 65%. So what the hell, dude? Right. 18 holes of golf ain't going to make it any worse. Come on. You can't take me down. You can go ahead. Check me out. You can put your dipstick in. I'll take a look at it. Make sure we're okay.
Yeah, but for every... every guy that does take the advice, 5 years later, there'll be an article. Actually, scientists were incorrect. It doesn't lead to prostate cancer.
It would be really
new
nice.
New research.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Yes.
We studied 14 people in a remote area of Canada that said, if you have a bottle of wine a day, you're going to live longer in life. How about we get one of those stories,
you're
man?
You're going to enjoy life better, right, I'll tell you that.
Well, but you go to a doctor, and they're like, do you have more than 4 drinks a week? That's not healthy. You're like, what do I believe here? Well,
can I tell you something about doctors? Too, and I this might be offensive.
Oh God!
But there is an idea of if your doctor is telling you these things and they look the part, it's far more like I'll look at you and it'll be more believable,
Andrew.
But if you have a doctor telling you that your lifestyle is unhealthy and they themselves are unhealthy,
yeah.
Oh,
does it ring a little more hollow?
Well,
yeah.
It does it not?
Well, hold on.
Like, you're gonna criticize me?
What if they're big boned?
What if I'm big boned too?
Well, technically, you're not. We have your test results.
My mom told me when I was young, I was big boned, okay?
Doc, that belt looks like it's holding on for dear life.
Yes, does it not? Like, really? We need to do cut some stuff out of your diet. You want to go first?
Okay.
Well, what if, okay, so what would you rather
have?
Is
your doctor telling you the same thing?
How was the ribeye and scotch last night there, Doc?
What makes you feel more uncomfortable? The doctor who's unhealthy telling you about what you need to do to be healthy?
That I'm unhealthy, yes.
Or the personal trainer who's obviously fat telling you that you're not exercising
right? I've never had that experience before.
I've seen some.
I have seen some that are larger than others.
And I'm like, do you need me to check you?
Are you really strong? Is there like a component of your athleticism that we don't know about?
Why don't you show me how to do that first?
Yeah.
But see, they can. That's what's crazy about it.
They can, yeah. Some fats can be athletic. I'm not
saying
that.
They're strong, and they know how to do the lifting. They know the proper way to do it.
There's no doubt about it.
But I judge the personal trainer more.
That's an absolutely great point.
I think far more than... like I've seen some doctors that are a little overweight.
Yeah.
I'm not like in my mind, I'm not listening to this fat ass.
Right.
If I went to a gym.
Right. But you'll do it with a personal trainer. If somebody looks unhealthier than you.
How are you going to get me disciplined?
Right. If somebody looks unhealthier or less fit than you.
Right.
It rings a little hollow.
Like, what would you judge more? Because I would judge the personal trainer more.
Probably
than
the personal trainer a little bit more. Yeah. Because, that fair complaint. I've had 3 personal trainers in my life. One was an old guy, Mark, great guy. He was super fit.
Mark was really strong.
He was deadlifting at like 75. It was
insane.
I
haven't seen Mark in a long time.
I hope Mark's doing great. We love you, Mark.
Yeah, that guy'll scare the you'll do your workout if you got one of those.
I'll do my workout. And he used to listen to the radio.
Your ass on principle at some point.
He used to listen to the radio, and if I ever said something like swag a la I can squat 300 pounds, I occasionally,
he would let us know how stupid you
were. Put the cart in front of the horse and say something like, I cannot run an alligator, right? There's things that we say at the time, and then he would hear it, and then I'd get in for my training session like, oh, yeah, you think you can do that?
All right, circuit training today, dirt, let's go.
I think the one time I remember was, remember when the Oregon players got the Rambo diet? Dialosis or whatever the thing was when Taggart got to town.
Oh, from exercising too much.
Yeah. And I remember making a comment on the air like, yeah, good, weed out the soft. Basically, to get to the gist of it, I think that was the argument I made. Mark Helfrich made him soft, right? Let's toughen him up a little bit. That workout I had that day literally killed me. He was like, oh, yeah, you think you can do that workout? And I showed up to
the gym. Oh, he thought that was offensive.
He was like, all right, let's see what you got.
Wow.
And I think I made
it. He wanted to give you Rambo-siosis.
I had Rambo-siosis. I laid down like 20 minutes in. Tap out, I'm done, man. But all my trainers I've ever had have been either very strong or very in shape. So I didn't have that problem. But it's definitely a fair argument. You got to be in shape if you're a personal trainer. You have to be.
Poll question, which one do you side-eye more, overweight personal trainer or overweight doctor?
Right. Giving you health advice.
Yeah, I'll add that into the question.
There's got to be that, because if you just see a doctor that's heavy set, that's fine. But if you're criticizing if that's where it comes in, if you're questioning my diet and my lifestyle.
And it kind of depends on the doctor, too. I mean, if your dermatologist is overweight but their skin's great, you're like, okay.
Oh, yeah. You know my stance on dermatologists.
But if your cardiologist is in there and he's pushing three bills at 5'10", you're
your heart's working a little hard there. So is yours.
Any harder than yours?
You're in the same boat I am, buddy. Let's come up with a plan. Let's solve this together. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, look, this is all very fair, I think. We all experience the same stuff.
We deal with this in the industry all the time. Ryan Clark told Peter Schrager he can't talk on ESPN because he didn't play in the NFL. That's a non-player take. You haven't been there. You don't know.
Don't do that to me. Don't do that to me.
As they're talking about wide receivers, which checks notes, Ryan Clark did not play in the NFL.
No. Well, he didn't play. Yeah, he didn't play wide receiver.
No. So can you talk about wide receivers?
Well, yeah, he's been there. He knows.
Oh, he's, of course.
I always loved that phrase. Heard that early in my career. Well, you know, so-and-so's got to be doing it for us. Why?
Why?
He's been there.
He knows.
He knows. And then I listen, like, I don't think he knows.
I don't think he knows what the hell he's talking
about. He's
been
there. I don't think he knows.
I haven't been there, but I know what I'm talking about, at least. I can put together a sentence.
Well, we're off to a rip-roaring start on a Friday edition. A lot to discuss, a lot of audio to bring you in Cafe de Dirt and Sprague. I think it's going to be a fun edition. Let's get it going next. 105.1, The Fan. All right, welcome back in. 6:26. We got Big Ten Media Day paperwork handed to us from old Jason T.
Next week, baby.
I'm going to get into some of this stuff today. I want to talk a lot of college football. I don't have a lot on the docket because I think we're waiting and sitting in a limbo phase, but I got a little Blazers today.
Yeah, I got a little Blazers today.
But it won't be heavy. I might just punt it to you. I don't know.
That's all right.
Did you follow any of the county stuff yesterday?
I watched about an hour of it, to be honest with you.
You watched an hour?
I watched about an hour.
Oh, I just read about it. I didn't want to watch that.
I wanted to ram my head into a brick wall.
Yeah, they delayed the vote to August 6th for the county. They were trying to move the vote beyond August 12th.
Yes, which you can't do. They have to vote before the city. This whole idea of needing more, we need more time. You know when they're going to meet again? 2 weeks.
What's going to change?
Great question, man. Great question.
And then I'm reading yesterday, I read Oregonian pieces, Willamette Week, OPB.
Yeah.
And I'm just, my takeaway is like, there are some, they're not speculating in the articles, but you can kind of connect dots. It just feels like people that are speaking out because they're trying to win the support of the union.
Yeah,
when they run for the,
I mean, this is all political grandstanding. That's, well, I just watched an hour of it yesterday, and it was insufferable.
Can we not? Can we?
Megan Moyer
say,
would not stop talking, and even the head.
Is she the gal with glasses?
She is the gal with glasses, yeah. And the short hair, and the chair who is.
Don't get her order wrong at a restaurant. Is how
no,
she looks.
She will yell at you.
She'll let you know.
Vega Peterson, the chair, multiple times was like, "Is there a question in here somewhere?"
Yeah.
Are we going to ask? When I heard one of them say, or not say, accuse the mayor and the state senator who was in attendance of white supremacy for asking them to rush their vote, that was when I was like, all right, I think I'm done.
Yeah. I just.
That's it for me today. I'll see you later.
I can't. When you watch it and you see it unfold, like I saw the daddy video that I told you guys about late in the show.
Yes.
Should have pulled the audio. Audio is so much better.
Where's your daddy?
Yeah, we can wait for daddy.
Where's
here.
Where's daddy?
And we're just like, a lady's like, what are you talking about?
What are you talking
about? And then you see the county stuff and you go,
yeah,
this is why our city has become what it's become.
These are people who, not all of them, I should say.
No, not all of them.
Some of them. Who are embracing a moment of a larger percentage of the public paying attention to what goes on inside the county commissioner's
job. Their names are being talked about.
Their names
more.
Are in articles.
No,
they're doing interviews.
Yep.
People are talking. They're getting TV interviews. Yeah. And they are capitalizing on every moment of this. And to watch people try and political grandstand for a topic and an issue that is so important to so many, it is absolutely disgusting.
Well, the funny thing is I text with somebody and they said, I lean far more left. Obviously, I've lived in Portland my whole life. I don't know if anything's made me go right more than following our county and city councilors.
Vote them all out, man. Vote not all of them. Vote the majority of them out.
No, there's a lot that aren't trying to be stupid. They're trying to get this deal done.
Yes.
It just is to me like yesterday. So Wright Gazaway, who was doing a great job, along with a lot of the print reporters. I want to note that like a lot of people are doing good work right now. So the county has delayed a vote on tentative commitment to invest roughly $100 million into MOTA to August 6th, to your point, 2 weeks ahead of the vote for the city council, which is going to be on August 12th. And I thought Gundy had a really good one because they were talking about, Moyer was talking about the county's proposed funding is outsized for the return in the long run. City's draft term sheets include $1 million payments. And Gundy, our good friend Eric Gunderson, he just quote tweeted this, said the return on investment is that the team doesn't leave.
Yes.
You're not running a hedge fund.
Yes.
You're a county commissioner.
Yes.
Do something to help your county keep a civic asset. I don't know what's hard about this for these people.
That was the point where there was this hard stance on what is our return on investment. If we're giving you this money, what are we getting in return?
What was your return on handing out needles?
You know how much Multnomah County spent last year in purchasing tents for homeless people? It's not massive. It's $1.8 million. I hope that people have a roof over their head and they're not cold and wet. I am also a Portland citizen and a Multnomah County taxpayer. What is my return on investment on that?
You're paying a lot in taxes too, buddy.
What is my return on investment on that? Again, I'm glad that they have tents. I don't get return on investment
like
in that.
Do you feel like you're seeing less of it?
No.
Because in some pockets, I'm not.
No.
Other pockets, I'm like, oh, that area is clear.
I mean, sure, maybe, but it's not cleared up.
Yeah, exactly.
And it's not like all of them have tents. And that's just the county. That's not counting the city. $1.8 million from the county went to buying tents for homeless people last year. I don't have a return on investment as a taxpayer. I'm okay with that. Give them tents, whatever, that's
right.
Fine. But if we're going to haggle over this and act like, where is our
you
return on investment?
You can't do that for everything you spend money on. What's
exactly.
The return on it? How about I get to
it's
enjoy something on a
dude.
Friday
yes.
and watch something that represents my city
right.
in one of the four biggest sports leagues
right.
you know, in America? Like, that is my return. How about I get to create memories with my children?
Yes, get to take my son to a Blazer game
get
and have him grow
or
up as
her
a fan.
To enjoy and become a fan and try
that's
to pass that down.
My
and,
return on investment.
Like, I just don't know what we're debating here. And I've said it from the start when these city councilors were coming out and they're like, I don't know about that amount of money. Like, when we're getting to the point of being against. And look, I have criticized the Blazers this week and a little bit of last week. Like, they've set a date to talk with Dwayne Haskins, or Hankins.
They
me.
Sent him an invite. Now, will they respond? I don't know.
We don't know if he'll respond. He doesn't seem like he's operating on the up and up according to what he was doing before Dunnan bought it.
Yeah, he's doing what Tom Dunnan tells him.
But setting aside team criticism here, keeping it focused on the city, because we had our council meeting yesterday, or our county commissioner's meeting.
Yeah.
They have yet to make a legitimate argument for why you would not or should not fund.
No.
Funding it, that's easy. And you can say, well, you're in the sports media and you're a sports fan. Yeah, you're not wrong. I am a little biased in this. I'd argue a little more than a little. But, like, it also is just logical. You can give me studies. We can talk about this. We can talk about that. It'd be one thing to be debating, should the city and the county and the state give $2 billion to build an entirely new arena
right.
in a section of town? That's different. This is a city-owned entity. You want concerts. You want monster trucks, the rodeo, the Winterhawks. You want sporting events to continue to be happening and other entertainment things. Guess what you need to do? You need to upgrade your arena. You don't have to think it's the crustiest piece of crap in the world the way Channing Frye does, but you can fully acknowledge if you go to literally any building that's been new or renovated and say, yeah, dude, we're pretty dated.
Right.
I've been to Climate Pledge 4 times. It is far and away nicer than what we have.
Not even close.
And it's okay to say that, but like the argument against it, I thought yesterday was an absolute clown show. And I can't believe these are serious people that are helping dictate the way our city is run.
Yeah, there was, in watching a lot of it, it was interesting. There was a moment of public testimony where there was a guy, one of the funniest moments of the day.
The guy that looked like Tom Dunnan?
The guy who looked like Tom Dunnan with the beanie and the sunglasses was an absolutely hilarious moment. And everybody's like,
he's
is that
so
Dunnan
great
in disguise?
If he yanked off the glasses.
You idiots don't know
down.
What you're doing. I'm like, is that Tom Dunnan right now? he's got the Bobby Valentine glasses with the mustache on, like hanging
Dude,
out in the back of the room.
If this was a Tim Robinson television show from I Think You Should Leave,
that's the way it would
the
go.
The skit would be that yeah. was Tom Dunnan.
You dumb bastards don't know what you're doing. That was at least a moment of levity. But there was also some other noteworthy stuff that happened. Like, I thought the mayor and the state senator, Kate Lieber, who was the one that was there, I thought they were outstanding. And they were getting grilled from the county commissioners. You know, what's at stake for the state? What are you cutting? What's the city cutting? Why do we have to cut? And all these questions, they were getting peppered from not everybody on the commissioner board, but two of them in particular.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the biggest takeaways I had was that Kate Lieber confirmed publicly something that's been floated privately, And that is the idea, this threat of losing the team, essentially saying that the NBA and Adam Silver told the powers that be inside the city and state government that if you pass the funding, if you get the state side, which is already done, you get the county side, which should have been done yesterday. Now we got to wait 2 weeks.
I mean, it's going to get done.
Right. And then the city side. If those three things get approved, it is going to sit down with Tom Dunn in the league, that is, and say,
sign the damn thing.
Sign the deal. Here's your deal. You're not going anywhere.
You haggle over taxes and property, you know, percentages and all that stuff.
But as long as the framework of the money is set, the team's not going anywhere. And that was a great thing to hear said publicly. It was great to hear the mayor say that he, in working with Tom
Dunn
as well, are trying to get an all-star game. Guess what you can't get unless you renovate the arena. There was another guy, and I can't remember his profession, but I thought his testimony was great going over the process of bidding for things for as a city, like when we bid for the women's Final Four, which is coming in a couple of years.
Yep.
And him talking about the cycle and how early that starts of when you bid for how long out it
versus
is.
Versus when it is, yeah.
And basically saying there are so many things up for bidding right now for 4 years from now, 5 years from now, 6 years
That's
from now.
That's your moment to strike.
That we can't even apply for because our building has a born-on date that is now too old to host fill-in-the-blank events. And it was really jarring to hear him mention if this gets delayed or doesn't get done, this isn't something that is like 3 years down the road we're going to feel it. That means 5 years from now, you still can't bid on something that's 6 years out.
Right.
And you're essentially feeling the pain for 15 more years. And it just to hear the idea of them not understanding the impact culturally that it can have for its citizens of a place to be, events to go to, a common shared space, like this idea that you, to Gunderson's point, are running a hedge fund and you need a return on every dollar. That's not the way that this works.
Well, you're not operating that way either, by the way.
We flush money down the toilet as a city and a county on a yearly basis. And it's a bunch of people who are capitalizing on their moment in the sun and them having their names in the news. And they're gonna milk it for every ounce it's worth.
And like, I've never gotten into politics. I can't foresee myself ever doing it. I just like, aren't you just elected to try to help things be better? And I know. Like,
you're a county commissioner. You're not going to be president of the United States someday. Calm down and get the job done.
Even if your aspirations are to be governor, like
it ain't happening.
You're not elected to just sit there and grandstand. You're elected to try to make things better and improve things. Does it help and improve the city by improving and updating the building? By the way, aren't we legally on the line? You mentioned the women's Final Four in 2030.
Yeah.
Aren't we legally obligated to make the renovations before that gets here?
I don't know if it's everything. There's certain stuff they have to do.
They've already done some.
They've already started some of it.
Yeah.
Well, did you see the fire statement yesterday? I thought that was an important note. Like, the fire are going to be working and basically, because the Rip City management is going to run it.
Yes.
Right? So the Portland fire, have to, like, operate under Rip City management, and they have a representative on the county. And they were making, I thought, a good point of like, dude, this is not good shape for us either.
Right.
The women.
We play here too.
We're getting ready in a dressing room. Like, this is not, it's not a locker room. It's not up to date. So like, the other part of this, and I'm sure there's going to be negotiating in every element of this process with Tom Dunn and the way he operates. Like, we might have to be, when we renovate, like, at a separate locker room for the Portland Fire.
Right. It's a very easy thing to do.
Because also, if you've been to the visiting locker room,
right,
those guys are 6'8", 7 feet.
Yeah.
And there's barely enough space for me and swag to go in there if we need to get away audio. So it's just like, I don't know, man. It just is an absolute ass clown show watching some of these people talk. What's her name? Moyer?
That's one of them. Yeah.
I know there's another one with her. They come in twos. Yep. And so there's another. And I just look at it. You got all the signs in your front yard, pro this, be against that. And then I talk to you and you just, the energy you give off is not good.
The job done. Get
it done.
The job done.
Just a joke. But hey,
I won an hour of my life back yesterday, but I wanted to educate myself.
I commend you for watching it. I just read a bunch of
quotes. I got home
and
I was like, we were running around. We had an ultrasound yesterday and I got home. Kid wasn't home quite yet. And I'm like, I got some time. Let's see what's going on here. And I got 5 minutes into it and I wanted off that ride.
Did you run any of the names that we talked about on the show with her?
Marty was floated and did not get a great reception. I mean, we're not going to kill it yet.
Moses? How'd Moses go?
No, he got Moses. No,
Moses is a no. Moses the kid in the neighborhood is going to kill Moses. He can't do that.
Yeah, you're going to there's going to be a Moses.
You can't have multiple Moses in the neighborhood. It's just, if there wasn't a Moses across the street, I'd be all for it.
So Marty was like more of a.
Yeah, okay. not a welcome, a hey. not a complete shoot it out of the sky, but there wasn't like a, oh, I like that. So it'll take some selling. We're gonna have
are
to work
you guys
on this.
Starting far away in your name choices because you're a to really honest, old school name guy.
We have very
was
different tastes in names. No, God no.
Okay,
she wants Jax with an X. I'm just kidding. She doesn't want that, but that's the kind of name that she's thinking. So we are on very opposite.
We are
Tom Dunnan in the Portland City Council right now.
Okay,
we got a couple of weeks here to come to an agreement to make sure that this all stays together.
You're more likely the Tom Dunnan of your house,
without a doubt. Yeah.
Get Costco toilet paper today.
When the air conditioner's on and you leave the front door open, I'm gonna yell at you. You're letting the cold air out. Close the door.
In Mission here, real quick. I'm pretty good at it normally, but I had a moment where I was leaving my garage because I made my garage a gym. I was walking out and we have one of these super bright lights that I put on the ceiling. And I was leaving the garage, I clicked off and I went, we turn the lights off in here and we leave rooms.
You damn right we do.
And I just thought, look at me being Tom Duncan.
Look at you, Tommy Two Nickels.
Tommy Two Nickels.
Can't pay that extra 47 cents in your PGE bill, huh? Look at you saving money.
All right, let's move on from idiots to more serious sports stuff. We got Cafe Day Dirt and Sprague, 641 on Portland Sports Leader 105.1 The Fan. All right, welcome back in. Something I noticed in sports that I quite enjoyed yesterday. So talking about funding, the Buffalo Bills have given the most public money to a new stadium of any NFL city ever.
Really? They set the record.
It was $800 million-something dollars for the new Bills stadium.
What did the Pagulas put in?
It has to be at least over a bill.
Right, you would think so.
I think it's like a $2.5, $3 billion stadium.
So you get about $800 from public, the rest from the Pagulas.
But I saw videos. They were taking tours of it because we're getting close to football season, and it'll be ready to go. Supposedly, they built it up. They don't have a dome, but they built it so high in a way so it'll block the wind.
Yes, it's not supposed to be as cold inside. I also think Buffalo understood their lot in life of like, we're not getting a Super Bowl. Nobody wants to go to Buffalo in February, so might as well keep the stadium outdoors.
Right. But I saw a really funny thing. I don't know if the Blazers, if they ever get past the funding, you know, debate, what they would do or how they would do it. But what I love is when cities and sports teams lean into unique things.
Mm.
And so I saw this video of somebody touring the Buffalo Bills Stadium, and inside on the main concourse, when you're walking in the new Buffalo Bills Stadium, the construction workers created a broken table that is assembled next to itself, and you walk past it. And I just thought, that probably costs too much money to make.
Yeah.
But also, hell yes.
It is so cool.
Because nothing symbolizes Bills fans more than throwing sex toys on the field,
yes,
or throwing each other through a table. And so I love that inside the Bills stadium, you see a broken foldable table on the main concourse.
Now, this leads to a great follow-up because I also saw that yesterday, and it is hilarious. Kudos to Buffalo for realizing that's probably what you're most known for and might as well have something inside the stadium that represents that. Now, what I couldn't tell when I saw the video and the picture of it, are you going to be able to, like, as a fan, kind of jump up on it and take a picture on it? It looks like it's relatively high
up.
No,
it's a big one. You can't. It's not
okay,
one of those.
I couldn't tell, like,
take
how
a picture
fully
next to it.
Stand next to it and take a photo. If we were to do something like that in the Moda Center, what would we do? A yellow Hummer?
No.
Why not?
What a dumb idea.
Why not?
They'd probably do, like, a little makeshift Rose Garden, wouldn't they? Would it be something like that?
But that's not, I mean,
we don't have a table.
I know, that's what I'm saying.
Do
we have anything that we're associated with as the Blazers? They have breaking tables. That's a tradition that they have. Do we have any traditions of that kind?
We could do different guns owned by different players through the different generations.
Now we're talking. Now we're on to something here. A gun rack.
This was the gun Zeebo went to go get.
All right. This was Stoudemire's gun. This was Rashid's gun. Like, you know, now we're on to something here.
No.
I don't think we have anything like that, which is kind of a bummer.
But, like, I wouldn't expect us to have anything like that.
It'd be cool to have a fan tradition. That's all I'm saying. We don't really have a fan tradition like that. The only fan tradition we have is people standing out in front of the Rip City and being the eye.
Well, that's kind of new, too, isn't it? I don't feel like that's been there forever.
No, it's less than 10 years old, that much I know.
I would say when the Rose Garden was built and opened up in 95, I would say the tradition for a long time for people maybe our age,
mm-hmm,
when we would go to games, it would be, can you get through the water fountain without getting shot?
Yeah, running through it.
Yeah, trying to time like when it's going to start and when it's going to stop.
A slip up there could ruin your night at the Blazer
It would ruin
game.
Everything.
Now you're wet. Now you're sitting in the 300
level. I got to get on a max with
level.
Wet jeans?
This is not going to be fun for anybody.
Not good, bro.
I'm not drying off. They got air conditioning in this building. It's going to take a long time in order to get there.
I mean, I don't know. I don't know what ours would be. It'd have to be more of a... You know, it had to be symbolic in a way that feels the same way as the table collapsing.
And I don't know if we have anything like that. Like, we have some fun moments in our history. There's fun, you know, like you go back to the songs that our players used to sing about headbands.
Are you better off to just
in a bucket?
Put the different eras, like commemorate the different eras throughout the concourse?
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. Have different themes to it. Maybe like a different key, a different paint with a hoop or a player that's a mannequin that's in the arena.
Like a bike hanging near the 77 team. Because
some tie-dye for Walton.
Tie-dye.
Ooh, tie-dye for Walton.
You know.
You got to get creative. I was really jealous seeing that yesterday. I'm like, man, that is awesome. That is what they're most known for. And they were smart enough to do something. Because, you know, if you're a Bills fan, like, you're going to the same. That's one of the first places I'm going if I'm a Bills fan. I want to go check out the giant broken table.
Would you allow somebody to throw? Would you go through a table if you went to Buffalo?
I think I would have to.
Oh, even
I wouldn't do like jump up. I did tweak my back reaching for my phone charger the other day. I wouldn't like do.
You're not
the,
jumping off the RV.
Not off the RV. Not off the truck bed. But
no.
Maybe truck bed.
You'd
you
have to do
have
a
to
truck
do,
bed.
Yeah, the truck bed. But there might be some cushion under that table.
Yeah, I mean,
you're
I
not
also
going
think
straight on the pavement.
Because I saw a guy do it once, but he just jumped off the ground and then landed with his back on it, and it didn't break.
And you can't.
And
do
he
that.
Was just like.
Yeah, that's it. And then that's embarrassing, too. Like, that's then you're going to get mocked and ridiculed the rest of the time in the tailgate lot. Especially if it was colder weather, because you'd have enough layers on and you'd be drinking enough that you at least wouldn't feel anything for the day. Now, the next day, it might hurt when you wake up. Mm. But I think that's a rite of passage if you go to a Bills game. You got to go through a table.
What about, like, our Willamette jet boats? The jet boat tour?
Jet boat tour.
What about the stern wheeler?
Hey, there you go. What about Herman the Sturgeon? Get him floating around in the concourse. And we still have Herman. He's still around? Big-ass sturgeon?
I don't know what our thing would be, but sadly, we don't have anything as cool as the breaking table. Do you put any stock in the ability of Dundon and Keith Wilson if they get the funding and renovate and make this? Like, I saw the rendering, by the way, of the north side that they were talking about. Buddy?
Looks pretty cool.
Looked awesome.
Yeah. I absolutely think there's a chance you can get an all-star game if it happens. I think the league would want to reward us for getting this done and getting the funding passed.
Especially if we ended up having a district. Like, we're talking about the year probably 2041 or something. But
yeah,
like,
I don't know how far out we are. But yeah, it's going to be a while.
Yeah, if we could get a district, because I've seen renderings of the district too that everybody puts together. Like, I lose my mind of the idea of it.
Having an all-star game here would be pretty badass. And it's a big weakness, I think, of the league to not celebrate and appreciate local markets throughout the NBA and send it to basically the same four cities every year. It feels like you rotate. Even Vegas is getting all-star games and they don't even have a team.
Part of that's players don't want to go to certain cities.
I don't care. I don't care. It doesn't matter.
I agree.
You think MLB players wanted to go to Kansas City for an all-star game and play in Kauffman Stadium that holds like 29,000 people instead of Yankee Stadium every year or Dodger Stadium? No, but you know what doesn't matter? That. It's for the fans. That's the whole point of an all-star game, and I hate that. We don't have hotels. You got to drive a long ways. I don't give a rip, dude. Get your ass on a luxury bus and spend 5 minutes in there. You'll be fine.
Who has the best chances to make the college football playoff in the Big Ten? Talk a little college football in the second hour, but we kick off hour two. Cafe de Dirt and Sprague, a Friday edition next, 105.1 The Fan.